That's right, good people. The eagle has landed. Where did it land? It landed on your iPod. Where did it land? It landed on your iPad. Where did it land? It landed on Blog Talk Radio. Good God, it's your boy Dre. Welcome to the Brothers Podcast, all the way live. I'm from the first state, home of our president, home of your money, home of your bankruptcy case, home of the Diamond State, where the Blue Hens play, and the Black College has its own pilot program because we got it like that. And joining me in the studio is my brother Mar, all the way from Baltimore, the Charm City, home of the states of Maryland, down there around the Ravens territory, where everything smells like crabs and fish. Hey, Mar, say what's up to the people. Mark, can you hear me? All right, while we're waiting on Mark to kick in, because apparently
All right, I was muted on the studio. So, you know, someone didn't unmute. Yeah.
I did unmute you on my end.
I unmuted myself.
Oh, on my end, you were red. The mic was red on my end.
Mm-mm, but it was muted.
Well, ain't that a better blip?
It was muted. It's okay. What's up, good people? What is up, good people? Now, let's talk about the states of Maryland.
The state of Maryland?
You said states.
I said states.
You did a plural.
I didn't get an F on that. I said states.
State.
I said state of Maryland. Maryland.
Well, okay. So, Dell State has a pilot program that is awesome.
Yeah, Dell State's on point. Tony Allen is taking that thing to a whole nother level. I was trying to get him on tonight. I promise I was. But he is definitely, and we need to do a show on HBCUs. I'll be down to actually invite some of the presidents of our HBCUs on the show just to see who shows up.
Yeah, being that I also attended at HBCU.
I'm glad you did. I was allergic to all them niggas.
I attended the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. And it's funny because that's awesome that Dell State has a pilot program, and UMES also has an aviation program as well. So these are wonderful things coming from UMES and Dell State. Matter of fact, I might recommend some of my seniors that are in our at my school that are in our program. Well, because we have a program for aerospace at my school, at my high school. So I might recommend Dell State or UMES. I had totally forgotten that UMES has an aviation program.
Yeah, you might have to bring them down. We're going to do a college fair. Bring them down.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm glad to see more of our people, more African Americans, interested in piloting. That's a big thing. To take on piloting, number one. But then to even want to learn how to work on planes, want to learn how to understand the flow of how a plane, you know, travels and all of that. I'm just excited at what, you know, is going on with our HBCUs to even say, you know, well, we need to offer. And Dell State actually owns their own planes with their aviation program. Like, their planes are
there.
That is
awesome.
Yeah.
They don't have to go anywhere else. That's
no,
wonderful.
They literally have their own runway and all that good stuff. I said, wow, this is absolutely bonkers. Almost
we
made
do.
Me want to go to an HBCU.
Yeah. All right. That's well, enough 10
years
HBCU.
10 years too late, but, you know, made a brother want to go to HBCU.
You can now. Right. You know, can maybe work on your doctorate degree or get a second master's degree.
Absolutely.
Get absolutely.
As soon as they make tuition free.
Well, now that part, I'll be glad when it happens, honey. Because
I'm all for black schools being free to black people that live inside of the state in which the school is housed. I don't care what the stipulations may be. You could say they got to be at least a 10-year resident. I got that. Let's go. I'll definitely be interested in that.
Give some out-of-state tuition. Mm-hmm. Charge those people, but us in-state folks, let us go to school for free. And that means all degrees, master's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate, please.
Absolutely, whether you're on campus or online.
Oh, online.
I'm like, Lord, they be wearing me thin.
Okay.
With college tuition, and then wonder why nobody finishes school. Y'all too high. You know, I could buy by the time I graduate with a doctorate.
Two cars. I could have had two cars and a whole house with the money I invested in my master's degree.
I could have had by now two cars and at least one house paid off and another house tucked away.
Okay.
Like, it's ridiculous that what they charge. It's ridiculous. Hopefully everybody who listening had a great Father's Day. I was a little actually surprised my son reached out for Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day
to all of our listeners. Everybody had a great Father's Day. I know one person who didn't have a good Father's Day, and that was Russell Simmons. He had a Father's Day from hell. So Russell's daughter, kicked
everything
off.
That's how we're going to segue into our hot topics.
We're going right into the hot topics.
Yes,
absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. So Russell's daughter, what's the lady's name?
Kimora. Lisa.
No, not Kimora. No. Russell's daughter, Ming. Ming actually wished her mother a happy Father's Day, and he was feeling left out from the love, and she had a not-so-cryptic post on IG blaming Kimora for making him jump through hoops to be a father to his kids, and unfortunately his kids didn't see it that way, and they continued to drag him. On Monday, Kimora went live and explained the issues with Russ Runs Deep. She says she had Russ blocked on social media, yet he still continued to post like they were good friends.
Even sending flowers to himself, told the kids that
they were from Kimora. His daughter Aoki also shared a ton of different text messages between her and her father in a muted video of him raging manically on FaceTime. She told her followers she also is at her last resort with mending their relationship. The family is believing that Russell is suffering from a mental issue, but he refuses to get checked out. So far, Russell's representatives have not reached out to anybody. However, Russell has responded saying he deeply loves his family and he hopes that they can get back on good terms. But, you know, Russ, wow, you know, talk about emotional damage.
Roller coaster.
yeah, you know.
Emotional roller coaster here.
I've been wondering why I ain't heard from you in a long time, Russ.
I think when we were chatting on the phone about these celebrities and their children, It runs deep with celebrities. They tend to cut their children off at some point, because that was Kimora was saying, like, when they were younger, when they were in college, he literally took care of them. But once But once that they became adults, he, well, somewhere toward graduation, he stopped. But he's blaming Kimora for taking the, once they were divorced, like she took all the money. But like Kimora said, their divorce has been 20 years ago. So they've been divorced over 20 years. And she has since remarried, but she was successful in her part of the business. So, again, money always plays a factor with divorce. That's why rich people get these prenuptial agreements. Because what you came in with, I'm going to believe I came in. What you came with, that's yours, and what I came in, that's yours. So I think we don't know the. I think we're starting to see stories unfold. Aoki also shared that it has been so, the animosity has been so bad between the fathers, the daughters, and the mother that he was sending people to their house to harass them. To the point he even harassed her, his. Aoki's grandmother. So this has been a long time coming, and it's interesting that they never shared their story until all of the drama. And so that tells me that once people have had enough, they have actually had enough. So I hope and pray that Russell gets the help he needs, or that, and that this family can be mended. Five daughters need their father, their parents, both their parents, mother and father. Kids, they need their parents. And I think that it could work, but there has to be some severe healing happening. And Russell has to take some of this responsibility as well. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of fathers, in a more happier news, Kourtney Kardashian announced that she was pregnant in a surprise announcement at the Blink 182 concert on Friday, sharing a message that she's expecting. She held up a sign in all capital letters that says, "Travis, I'm pregnant." And she jumped up and down, smiling and laughing. Both Kardashian and Barker shared the video footage of the emotional moment to their Instagram accounts early Saturday. And she is excited and she is overwhelmed at the amount of support and love and the gratitude for this pregnancy. This is a great way to announce that you're pregnant to me. I just, you know, for celebrities, it's kind of difficult, I think, to announce a pregnancy without everybody being in your business. But I really feel like this way of really announcing, like, hey, boo, guess who's pregnant, you know, I think that's on fire to me. So I definitely love the idea of announcing the pregnancy during his live concert for the Blink 182 tour.
Right. I agree. I think that is wonderful, and I'm happy for Kourtney and Travis. And Kourtney, as much as, you know, they are part, she's a part of the Kardashians, Kourtney's kind of the quiet one. She's not in the spotlight. Like her sisters, Kim and Khloe and Kylie and Rob. She's not in the spotlight as much as her siblings because she's just quiet. She's just a regular type of girl. So I appreciate her. She hasn't had these tons of relationships. She's been with one man, Scott Disick, and then when that ended, now Travis, so it's kind of cool to see Kourtney in this place and not like her sister. Sorry, Kardashian sister, but woo, y'all are annoying.
Yeah, we definitely thank the Lord she's not banging every hip-hop artist and sports athlete that she could find. She definitely keeps a low profile, which is a great thing. So I wish them all the best, both to Kourtney and to Travis, on this shot, on this pregnancy, and we pray all the success comes with the pregnancy and that the baby is healthy upon its arrival. So congratulations once again to you, Kourtney, and to Travis Barker. What a great way to announce. Hey, y'all, I'm pregnant. Nick Cannon's baby mama, Bree, called him a superhero dad for Father's Day. Nick received some awesome gifts and awesome time with his children. Officially now at 12 children, Nick took time to spend time with each of his kids for Father's Day, including his twins who had a birthday.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot of time. That's
Nick,
a day's work.
Whoa.
That's a day's work. You know, if you spend an hour per child, that's a day's work, you know.
I wonder which one he spent the most with, though.
I'm going to say with whoever got the most kids.
That would have been Mariah, because she has two.
No, because there's another set of twins also. And then isn't it one person that has three by them?
Lord, who knows, child. I mean, all right, I'm stopping. I'm just stopping. That's a lot of kids.
Listen,
not doing this today. Not doing this.
We know one thing. Nick's sperm can be used on the next X-Men film.
Ladies, watch out. Nick Cannon cough when you're pregnant. Okay.
You listen. Don't
he touch you? You're pregnant. No,
that's one person who needs to learn the art of self pleasure. Avril Lavigne and Tyga has broken up after 3 months, calling the relationship over, mutually agreeing that it's run its course. This relationship lasted 3 months. The hip hop artist / content creator and the pop superstar mutually agreed that, you know, hey, you know, what we had was good, but it's done now.
Okay. All right.
You think OnlyFans had anything to do with it?
The whole relationship, Avril Lavigne and Tyga, but wasn't he with
everybody?
Yeah, I feel like he was with everybody, so I'm going to leave it alone. All right. Well, we're glad
to meet you, Senator. He's with Iggy Azalea. He's with Carla Howe. He was with Camilla Osmond. He's with Angelica Babakov, Jordan Craig, Lou Steeves, Chanel Iman, and Kylie Williams. He's also had encounters with Juliana Hurst, Jordan Ozuna, Mina Blue, Demi Rose, Val Mercado, Ana Lou, Cordosa Skin, Sophia Body, Honey Cocaine, Logan Browning, Jenna Shea, Delicia Bryant,
okay.
And we still have not. Oh, Black China, Jordan Craig, Bella Porch, and Tammy Hembrow, and that doesn't include those that he banged on his OnlyFans page. That's just the ones that we know about.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're glad that they had a 3-month relationship. I never thought Avril Lavigne would cross over to the black side, but
all right, yeah.
she definitely turned the phrase "once you go black, you'll never go back" into a lie. we're excited that they're single and that they mutually agreed. Rihanna posted great photos of their son, Art RZA, on Father's Day. Definitely excited about the love that she has for ASAP Rocky. She has definitely posted some great photos. Rihanna is a happy mom. Can I just say that? Like,
yeah.
She's like one of the happiest moms I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, Rihanna, and there's a few others that are like happy moms that you don't really see them complaining or upset, so, or deadbeat baby fathers. Cardi B, I never heard her complain about her man, you know, her, you know, it's, to all the fathers who had a wonderful Father's Day, you deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been some great dads as of lately.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is like so iconic. that are males, are black male celebrities especially, are enjoying being a father, like loving every minute of being a father. I think that is so just, I think that's just awesome to me.
Yeah.
Because you don't really see that. Normally, you know, it's like you got great moms and horrible dads.
Right. Or begging, like, yeah. But I think you have some great celebrities. You have some celebrities that, you know, once they became dads, they kind of changed their outlook. Sometimes being a dad will change their outlook.
Absolutely.
On life. So maybe they needed to step up to the plate. So we're glad that that's happening.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now that summertime is here, what are you excited about now that you you don't have to get up and
nothing. I'm not excited about anything. I'm excited about just being able to not have to leave my house unless I want to leave. Unless I want to leave or I have to leave, that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about those things, and it's the little things, and don't have to spend a whole bunch of money. How about that? Let's start talking about that. I don't have to. Outside is. I was watching a clip where this lady was saying outside, it's too much going on outside, too dangerous. You're spending too much money. I'm good. I'm good. I'm just excited
any
about
exciting plans for the summer?
Too many. I want to do some traveling, but one of the things that I'm going to do that I have to do is I'm going to get my driver's license. I found a driver's school. And I'm going to sign up for it and go ahead and get my license. So I'm excited about doing that.
All right,
and it's only 2 weeks. It's only two weeks. It's a 2 week course. So that's the fun part. And then the second part about it is that I can sign up. I can do the 2 week course, and then I can sign up for the classes, and they're all included in the payment. So I'm glad about that.
I love it.
Yeah, you see.
Behind the wheels of a car, let us pray. But no, I'm definitely excited. I'm just glad the summer is here. So less stress, less headache.
Right.
It is what it is. Hunter Biden is pleading guilty. To federal charges, but you know, I don't think it's going to destroy anything. I think, you know, if we look at, you know, Trump's kids got charges, Bush's kids are drunks, and just, they got some disturbing the peace charges, you know. So I think it just falls in line with his position. After a while, you have to, you know, have at least one. Of course.
The Republicans,
of course.
They're going to, it's just like they did with Hillary's emails. They're going to beat this, like, it's going to be beaten to death. They're already complaining because they feel like he is the son of a president and he's getting preferential treatment. But let's be honest. Y'all are rich people. Y'all are rich. Let's not even sugarcoat this. If it was a person that was under poverty, they'd be facing 10 years plus for tax evasion and gun charge. Like, y'all are complaining about someone who did a plea deal. Y'all wouldn't even offer anyone that was for a plea deal. Y'all would have like, plea deal, what? No, you're going to jail.
Yeah, they ain't offering Ron Isley a plea deal, that's for sure.
Okay.
They locked his ass up. Ron was like, I'm trying to get a plea deal. They said, y'all can take it.
Right. Y'all be tweeted like y'all. Yeah, if it was a personal, yeah, it was just like y'all are like the Republicans are going to beat this into the ground. Or he's getting off scot free because he's the son of a president. Listen, listen. Well,
they don't want to do that. I mean,
how many charges?
How many charges did Trump beat before he got indicted?
Many.
You know, I just feel like sometimes you just gotta learn to let things be.
Yeah, they've already started. It's already, you know, if they're not going to get Hunter on this, he's going to have to go before the Senate. I'm telling you, it's going to be a whole big to-do. And it's going to cause the Democrats so much pain, I'm telling you. But that's the world we live in.
So looks like the election is going to be between someone behind bars and someone who has a child behind bars. Or at least on probation. But I mean, you know.
The early polls have said that Biden, you know, is in the lead. Of course, you know, they always do these polls, and it looks like Biden's in the lead. If we were to have the election tomorrow, Biden would be in the lead for president.
Yes. Absolutely. My thing is just give me somebody who can do the job and I'm happy. I mean, you know, this is the United States. No matter who we put in office, we're going to have a complaint against them. At this point,
it gets to be like this. Like we've been like, well, I know I've been through Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Obama, Trump, Biden, and so all women. But you know, when I was younger in the '70s, you know, it was Carter. I don't remember President Carter, so I don't remember him. I forgot I gotta go to Carter. So it's kind of interesting, like, to go through all these presidents, but also see the different personalities, and it's just just put somebody in the office that's gonna do the job. Can we just do that? Ex porn star, what is her name? Sorry, Mariah Mills is threatening basketball player Zion Williamson that she's gonna leak the sex tapes because she's calling for the Pelicans to trade him. Mariah Mills was the side piece of Zion Williamson. He was paying her, I think, $25,000 a month to be maintained as a side piece. But he has since, you know, got someone, he's having a baby. And so Mariah has decided to go petty and threatened to leak his sex tape, and not only leak his sex tape, but she's asking for him to be traded by the Pelicans.
She leaked
their text messages and everything. But I want people to understand something about when you do stuff like that. There really is no crime against you having an affair with someone. Like, you can't be arrested, and a team... the basketball team went and trade him because he had a, now if he was on drugs or if he was not performing on the team to the best of his ability or his contract was running out, that's when they would trade him. But for the most part, I don't think they would trade him because he did a sex tape or you are a side piece. I just don't think that would happen. The more you're doing is basically causing him to look bad in the public eye versus but then again, he's not married. He doesn't. He might have cheated on his wife. So it's like, what is her end game? Oh, and they actually suspended her Twitter account. So Elon Musk had her Twitter account suspended. So again, what is she trying to accomplish? I'm lost. I'm like, he was paying you $25,000 to be the side piece, honey. Like,
right. I mean, that's the best way I could just do it. There's no other way of putting it.
When I was reading it and she was sending out his text messages and she was like, but what are you trying to accomplish? Like, this man was paying you to basically be his side piece, like, and you were taking his money and you didn't have a issue with it until they got someone pregnant, but you were the side piece. Did you want to be the main piece?
She didn't get pregnant though. That's the whole problem.
Well, I mean, did she want to be pregnant?
Maybe she did, but maybe her eggs wouldn't hatch.
If you wanted to be pregnant, if you wanted him like that, well, why didn't you just say something like? Why all of the drama? Like, I just... Okay, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. He's paying you $25,000.
He got paid. I mean, she definitely got... if you think about it, you got $25,000. The other chick just got a baby for 18 years. For $25,000 a pop, you could have bought a baby.
So, okay. Thank you. And then I think this is going to be our last one. Pop star BB Rexha was injured on a man threw a cell phone at her, which hit her in the forehead.
That was her eye. That wasn't even a forehead blow. Did you see the cut?
I didn't see the cut because the picture I saw was her being bandaged up. So, yeah, it was over her eye. He did it just to do it. He wanted to see if he could do it. He just threw the phone.
He wanted her to take a picture is what he said.
He wanted to hit her. He didn't
think the phone was going to pop her in the head or in the face. He was throwing the phone on the stage so that it could get to her because he wanted her to take a picture and then throw it back to him in the crowd.
It just, people, listen. We know you love these celebrities. We get it. But listen, leave them people alone. Leave them people alone. Y'all going to end up in jail. You going to end up dead. Like, just leave them alone. Like, leave these people alone. They're humans, y'all. They're human beings, okay? Okay? They're human beings.
They're humanized.
They just want to be left alone. They just want to do their thing. Listen, leave them babies alone, okay? Throwing cell phones at them, stalking them.
That phone popped the hell out of her. I'm trying to tell you.
It did. Like, before she could even get a note, I said, boop, it was over.
She went down like one of them church mothers from the Koji church laid hands.
I can't. I felt bad. I felt sorry for her. Like, y'all just leave these people alone. Stop running up on stage. Stop.
I bet she won't go to the edge of another stage and sing.
I bet you she will. It's sad because I've seen clips of people running up on stage to get to the people and being knocked down by the bodyguards. Yeah. I've seen people being thrown off stage when they're not. Like, it was this one clip of Patti LaBelle. And Patti LaBelle, I guess, invited the man, because, you know, Patti LaBelle, she invites people on stage to sing with her. She invited this man on stage. He goes to do something. I think he was drunk. He goes to do something. He pulls his shirt up. And then he goes to pull his pants down and
get off my stage.
Yeah, she told him to get off her stage. She said, throw him out the building. So she had him escorted out the building. Like,
absolutely.
Y'all, leave these people alone. Leave them alone. If you've had too much to drink, don't run up on the stage. Let your celebrity have a good time and enjoy the concert. Sit down, okay? Just sit down.
Absolutely. And it's bad because Patti loves people. You know, and she loves all people. You know, because I think at one point after they booed him out, he tried to make it a whole, you know, LGBTQIA statement. But, right. You know, that was quickly shut down.
Hey, but you can't get on stage and be drunk and start stripping. That's inappropriate.
Patti said, Patti said this ain't no Cardi B concert. The hell?
Right. She called you up on stage to sing. She did not call you up
He had to do was voulez-vous coucher avec quoi. That's all he had to do.
C'est soi.
What can I do for you? What can you do for me? That's the only lyrics Patti let people sing.
Right. Y'all better leave Patti and
shout
brother
out,
Patti
not
alone.
Shout out, but condolences also to Ray Lewis before we end our hot topics. His son,
Ray Lewis
III, passed away tragically at the age of 28 years old. He was a very big star running back at Lake Mary Prep High School in Florida, where he rushed for 1,898 yards and 20 touchdowns, plus netted 676 yards and 4 touchdowns receiving, which is huge for those who play football. Definitely wanted to follow his father's footsteps, played at Miami like his dad, and then went to Coastal Carolina and Virginia Union for his college career. And it's definitely a sad occasion. So big prayers up for Ray Lewis and his family. This is a huge thing. This is a huge loss to the football community. They were definitely looking forward to seeing him shine on the football field.
Prayers to Ray Lewis. He has my prayers and condolences.
Absolutely. So being a teacher, we see many things. Being a teacher, we see a lot of issues with today's schools. Today, we're going to dig into one of the issues that, or one of the things that we noticed about the school system today, and that's to really dig into the question, are schools 21st century ready? In your hands.
Okay, so I'm going to play, you're going to help me play the devil's advocate with this. So, the pandemic really had a lot to do with this topic. When I thought about this topic, I thought about what happened. So in 2019, we were at the height of, it was my first year teaching in Prince George's County. And as I was teaching, I'm going into the classroom. We were using pen and paper. I remember every making copies. We were doing paper tests. we had to scan the dagger. I never forget. We had to scan the sheet and pull it through. We had to scan it. So when 2019 happened and we had to basically move into basically a virtual setting, I noticed that we weren't really ready. We were not really 21st century ready. Because it really made us have to scramble. So what happened in that situation is that, so in March of, I think it was March 16th, the state of Maryland closed down, sent all their kids home, and closed schools down for 2 weeks. So 2 weeks and nothing happened. So in the reality of it, I believe the county was preparing themselves to roll out all this new technology, but I think they were going to do it in a wave. You know how, like, you give out new technology, but you don't give it out until this year we're going to do this. This year we're going to do that. And then next year we're going to do this. And then next year we're going to do that. So I think when the COVID happened, it put everybody in a mode of we got to scramble, we got to get kids laptops, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got, oh my God, we got to hurry up. And so the school systems really scrambled. And I'm not saying they didn't handle, I'm not saying they didn't handle it well, but I don't think they were prepared for it to happen. I don't think they were prepared for COVID and then not to return to the classroom for a year. So that's the first thing I noticed. So we were not 21st century ready. And when I say 21st century ready, that means that we have the proper equipment, technologies. We're being, as educators, we're being trained on the newest technology. So this year I use Canvas. I can use Canvas because the past 2 years we used Google Classroom. So we go from using Google Classroom to Canvas. Now, understand, you have, in sometimes in school systems, you have people that are not computer savvy. You have older teachers, and I mean, when I say older, I mean in their 60s, almost 70s, and the expectation is you teach them new technologies, and they're to learn it, and they're to utilize it. Next year, we will not be using Google Classroom. We'll be strictly using Canvas. So imagine what's going to happen to those teachers who don't know how to use Canvas, don't know anything about it, and now they have to use it. So the question is, are schools 21st century ready? Are they really being equipped? Are they equipping our children with the latest technology? Are they equipping our children to be ready to handle? Because many of the colleges and universities are using Canvas now. And I think the purpose of using Canvas is because, first of all, I love Canvas. I didn't think I was going to like it. But when I started using it, I love Canvas now, because everything that I need is there. I just have to really teach my students how to upload and put links in it. Yeah, that in of itself is interesting. So are schools really 21st century ready? Like I was hoping that if we have any educators or any parents that are listening that you struggled during the pandemic, please call in. Our number is 319-527-6083. That's 319-527-6083. We want to hear from you. I know students struggled. I know parents struggled to be equipped for this online reality, because we're now moving to an online, if we're honest, we're moving more on to an online reality. We're moving to computer systems. We're moving to various technologies. One of the ones that I liked that I used during the pandemic was a video Screencastify, because in the first part of it, I didn't have to actually get up and teach the kids like when they use Zoom. So I actually had to record my lessons. I think I recorded my lessons on, because we did it by subject. So English was like Mondays. I think English was on Mondays. And then we had to upload our assignments into Google Classroom. So I would do a lesson. I would teach it. I would teach 30 minutes. I would do my lesson. I would upload it Sunday night. And then I would schedule it to post Monday, and the kids would view it and then do the work outside. And I like Screencastify because I was able to record. It gives you the ability to record your lesson, and then say, for instance, you are absent. Say you are your teacher, and you're absent, and you want the students to still receive your lesson. You can use Screencastify through your entire lesson and just have the kids do the work. I like that.
We do have a caller on the line.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. We do have a caller online.
I can bring them on in.
Hello, caller.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing well.
That's good. This is Rich. Mr. Rich. Huh. Can I speak on the teaching aspect, or is the school 21st century ready?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's a good topic. I'm a teacher as well. I work with kids and a counselor, life coach, all that good stuff. But I think that the parents should also be 21st century ready. And it, being 21st century ready, it makes the parents more accountable because the kids are in the home. And it's no excuse now that the parents can't be in the kids' business in their life and help them with their work. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm from the old school. I'm from back in the day where they walked and you got a paddle in and all that good stuff. But now, is the discipline going to be there? And, you know, because you can do the work all day online, but is it going to catch? Are they going to keep it? Like, you know what I mean? Are they going to keep it as well without the discipline or the good instruction? Because that's what will make it 23 ready for me, you know, as far as I go. Like, I think they're electronically, but what if the electric go out? Then what happens?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that you brought up is very one thing that when we were virtual, we allow, I always, and even when I'm in the classroom, I always allow my students to make up work because we do understand, and a lot of my colleagues were not that lenient. But a lot of us understand that at home is a different beast. We don't know the challenges our students are facing. I had a student who actually had to live in a hotel for a few weeks because her house caught on fire. And when she told me, I was very understanding because, number one, we were virtual. We were not in the building, so there wasn't really much we could do. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't say, well, meet me at the school. Because I think she lived not too far from the school. So what I did, I was lenient with her and allowed her to make up her assignments until she got into a place that happened where she could actually do her work. And like you said, there were students who probably, their parents probably were not financially stable, so their lights were turned off. It is so many things that happened during the pandemic. We just don't know. And I don't understand how kids necessarily even made it through. That's one thing that, but I'm starting to see now that some of them didn't really make it through. I had a student who said she didn't even know how to get online to do her work. So ninth grade, but her 10th grade year, she basically did absolutely nothing. Her parents wouldn't allow her to come into the building because of COVID. And they were going to school in shifts then. So one alphabet was going these 3 days, these 2 days. One alphabet was going these 3 days. So based on the A, B day schedule or by the alphabet. So she basically was so behind that she was still, by the time she got to me, she was considered a ninth grader. And so there's a lot of issues with this, with being technological savvy, but there's also a lot of issues with what's going on at home. And I think that's what we need to look at as well. We need to create centers or something where kids can go. If we're ever going to, if Lord forbid, we have another pandemic, Lord forbid, but this happens again, then what are we doing to make sure kids actually get the help they need. Because like you said, what if their electricity goes out at home? What if their parents can't, what if their light bill is $500 and they can't afford it? How do we help kids like that? How do we assist kids? And then some kids were at home with their younger siblings. So I can't do my work because I got my parents want me to take care of my younger siblings. How do we address those? How do we address those issues?
Yeah.
Because that's the issue we need to really address. Home life is not that great. Something that needs to be discussed in school systems.
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking. I was like, what if the electric go out? They can't pay the bill, so that child has the potential but can't physically do it because of a mishap.
Right.
Or the parents. Don't be on the computer too long, you run up my electric bill. You know.
Right. I often tell my students, this is why I probably would get in trouble for this. But when we have to read novels, I don't assign homework unless I have to. I don't assign homework because I understand that some of my students have seven other classes besides mine. So mine is one when I was teaching ninth grader. But I'm teaching seniors this year. So some seniors may have eight classes. Some seniors may have four or may have two. So I don't assign the homework because, number one, they're really not going to do it. And number two, I don't assign homework because they're struggling to maintain the seven other classes' work. So I don't want them to neglect doing my work, which I still, even though I never signed homework, they still never did it. Some never did it. But that's their own issue. So I think that, again, we have to be realistic with what's the kids' home life like. And I think that schools need to move into a place of making sure students can be successful even if they don't have electricity at home, even if they don't have internet at home. I think we need to figure this out. And I know that during the pandemic that they were giving out hotspots to kids through, I think, Comcast was giving out hotspots so that the kids could stay online. So it was a lot that was happening that I did see, but how do we maintain now? And now the issue is, how do we maintain it if we're moving on over to a more computerized, technology-centered school system? And that's all
school system. Do the school system automatically. That should be provided. If you want the kids to do the work at home, provide the internet service so there don't be no mishap.
Shoot, the government
so
gave
in Delaware, I'm not
dollars.
Sure how to get it in Maryland or any other states. I do know in Delaware we were able to use some of our money from the that they received from the government during the pandemic to make permanent purchases for the education system that now all schools, the hotspots are paid for by the state of Delaware for the schools so that the students are able to go home with the hotspots that do not have homes that do not have internet.
If I'm not mistaken, I know that they were giving them out and I know that the kids didn't have to pay for them, but Maryland has this blueprint. They have this, it's called the Blueprint of Maryland, which says this is where this funding is going. Because I know that the government gave each state money to assist with their school system. So, and I know that Prince George's County is a large school system. So as Prince George's County is a large school system, I'm quite sure they did get tons of money to assist with our education. DC, public schools, all the surrounding counties, we all got money from the state, got the state and the government, because the government specifically set it aside. Now, what each state does with it and where they put it is unknown to me. I'm not the higher up, and I don't know what's going on in that piece. But I do know that, you know, the students were given, and the good thing about it was the students were given Chromebooks to take home that they keep until they graduate. So once they graduate, they return the Chromebook because it doesn't go with them. They return it, and the school system collects all their Chromebooks. So I thought that was a great thing that they take it and give it to it goes with them to the high school. Now, one school in my county was taking them back in middle school. We don't know why the school was taking them back. I don't know if the school thought that they, you know, if they gave them out in elementary school, they're keeping them through the rest of their, you know, they're keeping these Chromebooks, y'all. So they're keeping them, y'all. They're keeping them. So don't take them in middle school. I don't know why this middle school was taking the kids' Chromebooks, taking them back from the kids that were going to high school, and telling the kids, oh, when you get to high school, they'll give you a new one. No, bring it with them, y'all. And then they will replace it if it was broken or it was old, because some of them were old Chromebooks, so they needed to be replaced. So I know a lot of that money is going into devices and, you know, hotspots. I don't know if our schools are necessarily ready to handle this next phase of technology, because it seems to be like it's being given out in pieces.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's like it's getting
I think they have to, I think it's good that they roll it out in pieces like that. I think if we roll it out all at one time, it will be too much on a lot of, especially the senior teachers. That, you know, they only have about another good 3 years.
Honey, a good year. How about that? I think that's the other thing is when you roll out new systems, I think we need to be prepared for what we call digital natives and digital immigrants. Digital natives are people who they've grown up all their life with a cell phone and a computer and know how to work those things. But when you have these digital immigrants, like the ones who didn't grow up, like me and possibly you, we didn't grow up with computers. Like I told someone, I didn't get on the internet until 1995. And then when I got on the internet, it was Netscape Navigator.
Woo!
Yes. And see, and then that was
floppy disk, so you can already imagine.
I was in college, and that's when I first had an interaction with a computer. So, and then I had a cousin. She used to do some type of work on a computer, so she had it. She lived with my grandmother, so she had it at home. So that's my first foray into looking at computers and actually seeing a computer. But me actually working on one was when I was in college. So
yeah,
I'm a digital, I don't know what I would be called. I still think I'm a digital immigrant. I have very little.
Is that the terminology for that?
Mm-hmm. When I worked at Kingsbury Center, we did a videography class, and a portion of our videography class was the teacher who taught it. She actually talked about digital immigrants and digital natives, and that was people who digital immigrants would be people who, like, you know what a TV is. You know how to turn it on, but that's about all you know how to do. You know what a computer is. You know how to turn it on. you know how to get to the basic things, but you don't really use it. You don't really know how to use certain software. You know, like older people with cell phones,
mm-hmm.
with texting, taking pictures. You know, why is it that they got to take their picture all close up, like the phone is like right up near their face instead of further back at a certain angle?
Tell me about it.
You know, why is it that, you know, why is it that there are some pieces that are not, how come you can, even to go back in the day when we had VCRs, certain people didn't know how to work a VCR. Digital immigrants don't know how to work a VCR. Now, give a VCR to these kids, and they wouldn't know how to work. The digital natives, they wouldn't know how to work a VCR. But they can take apart a laptop. They can tell you what it does. They can play games on it. They can do everything. So you have those pieces of digital immigrants and digital natives. And this is what happens in a school system. You have digital immigrants, and you have digital natives, and you have teachers who've been in the school system for 30 years, and I'm talking about they started teaching in the late 80s or early 90s. So this is when technology was becoming more and more advanced, and with cell phones and with all this stuff. So by the time they get to teaching these kids, no, they don't know what Google Classroom was easy. The Google Classroom was really easy, but I didn't like Google Classroom as much. But then when we switched over to Canvas, I like Canvas, but there's still some things about Canvas I'm still learning. So there's a lot to kind of unpack. But when teachers have to use Canvas or use these new tools, it's kind of hard to be like, okay, you expect Miss Jerry, who's been teaching for almost 40 years, to learn a whole new system?
The question is, do you really think Miss Jerry is going to learn after teaching for 100 years?
No, she's probably going to use pencil, paper, and gray. Like, it's so bad, like a couple of the teachers were using Scantrons.
Oh, God.
They were using Scantrons. Yeah, they still exist. They use a Scantron to do some work. Here I am using Canvas. Here I am using Google Classroom and to do things. And I got people using Scantron. So, I mean, is the expectation that Miss Jerry or Mr. Johnson is going to really do? No. I mean, yes, the expectation is he should, but when you switch over to something, but then here's the thing. You want to teach people how to use it, but you teach people using technology, so you make them watch videos.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily going to remember, especially if I'm old, I'm not going to remember what steps to do and how to do and
some of these videos is just ridiculous anyway. So it's like,
go ahead, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, there's some of this technology for videos, especially in the school systems. These folks ain't going to catch they're not going to catch on to the video.
Right.
You know, it's so much going on in the video, first of all. And then you want me to remember how to control the video.
Right.
Like, come on, player. So here I am now trying to figure out how to get back on this crazy video. And, yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah. I think the other piece about that is some people are and this is how you got to know your learner. Like, what type of learner? And you're going to learn your students. But you as an adult need to learn, what type of learner are you? Are you hands-on with kinesthetic? Are you visual, or are you auditory? Do you Do you learn by listening, or do you learn, by seeing? Some people are actually, they learn by seeing and doing. There are people that you might be both. I like to learn. I like to see. That type of learner I am. I'm visual, but then I like to hear, but I also take time to do it. I was struggling creating a test on Canvas, and so I had to watch a video with how to do that. So in learning how to do the test, I kind of helped myself make a test and upload it. But still, some things about it I needed to kind of fix a little bit to figure out what I need to do. But at least I tried and didn't give up.
Right.
And get frustrated. The only thing is, I wish that I had taken the time to really, okay, this is the test. This is how it grades it for you. The other thing about Canvas is that Canvas is linked to our grade book, so it's supposed to actually talk to our grade book. So when we grade in Canvas, it's supposed to spill over to our grade book. So I don't have to. I can put the assignments in, and then the grades will automatically go over there. But this year it did not do that. So I don't know how that's going to happen next year when we totally switch over to Canvas, because the kids will not have access to Google Classroom at all. The students won't have access to it. So this is going to be an interesting how it's going to play out, because how these kids we're going to have to use Canvas. They're not going to have access to Google Classroom at all. So how's it going to work?
It's definitely going to be interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, I think these are days where in order to take a school to the next level, that's when you need to call in and say, you know, maybe we need to do some more hands-on approach for during the PD day. You know, I really feel like, you know, staff development, a lot of our staff development days are wasted. Like, let's just be real. Because we're teaching stuff that is irrelevant during staff development days. I think if we take the time to, at least in my eyes, if we take the time to use staff development days as a way of at least making sure teachers are prepared for what they need for the school year, I think we would be much better. But you know, my biggest fight, I even say it in my own school. I'm like, you know, we're here. You have us here for a whole day. Nobody knows why. By the time we're done, we don't even know what we went through or what we were discussing. You know, so I do feel like schools need to do a better job at staff development, and even get to a point maybe that you ask the staff, you know, hey, we're getting ready to start staff development. What would you like to see discussed during staff development day? You know, what topics do you need help with? What don't you understand? And then you let that be your guide for staff development day. That's how I personally feel about staff development. Like, it's a great tool if it's used correctly. But what are you developing if the staff is still confused when you're done?
Right. I think one of the things you said is very important. So we do staff development training. We say these are the new technologies we want to use, but then you don't implement them or you don't ever utilize them. And I think that's one of the things that's frustrating. You get staff input and you don't. Staff development is weird. And I used to say this because I worked at a school that was strictly for, SPED, and we would get all these new technologies and never use them. Or we would get these technologies and then we would never see them implementing in class. It's the implementation. Like, why get all these new technologies but don't implement them or don't use them, and or don't circle back to your teachers? Like, instead of doing these staff developments about stuff that is, like, data is important. Don't get me wrong. Data is important. But maybe you do hands-on staff development for teachers still struggling with Canvas. So you do staff development for teachers struggling with how to implement Canvas in their classroom, and you do three different staff development, and but you do it throughout the year. I think, again, like you said, like, it's, you got me here all day. You got me here all day, but you're not telling me. You're showing me stuff, but you're not implementing things, and then nothing happens, or we use it and then we lose it.
Right. Like, I've been here all day for what reason?
Right.
Now I'm mad. The kids is mad.
Yeah.
They don't understand why we're here.
Right. So I think if we're gonna do new technologies, if we're going to be implementing things that are for the school year, then we need to hold to those things, and then not only hold on to them, but make sure we're actually going to use them.
Yeah.
Because if not, you just beating a dead horse, and you spending all this money for nothing. Like, when
you're
got rid of screen, right. Because when they got rid of Screencastify, I thought that was so stupid, because it could have said, like, we could have used it, but then, like, when you hire a sub, then all the kids had to do was open their Chromebooks, and bam, there's the lesson right there. So the sub don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I noticed this year we didn't do emergency sub plans. But I realized the reason why we didn't do emergency sub plans, because everything is virtual.
And that's another thing. I feel like when we do our reset days at the beginning of the year, we need to reset the norms for how the school year will be ran this year.
Oh, my goodness. Yes,
you know,
Lord.
If we're not using the same software, you know, then my first assignment – is going to be, I need to make sure that my students are ready for this, my students are ready for what we're actually going to be going through this year as far as
right.
Because it's not fair to them.
Right.
So they're coming back from summer break. You think they're prepared for, you know, we switched up the class. We switched up the software again. Okay, cool. So when are we going to learn this new software?
I think what teachers should be doing, especially in the first week of school, instead of doing, because I made this decision on my own. I'm not swallowing. I made a decision before I get into the curriculum. We're going to do basic. Like, what is Canvas? Like, what does Canvas, what does it look like? How do you input your assignments? Because I found myself so many times getting on students because it's like, I can't read your work. I can't even access your link to your assignment because I can't open it. Because
right.
you didn't take it off restricted and put it on something else. So I think teachers, when we get new software and the kids don't know, we need to spend time teaching it to them. Unfortunately, that's how it has to work. Then I say unfortunately because I think that before we do new software, the kids need to be trained on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the ones giving it to them. So,
yeah, I believe that too. Like, if we're going to implement it, then it should be our responsibility to make sure that it's understood across the board. You know, okay, you don't get it. Okay, cool. Let's go through it again. Let's make sure we all on one accord, because at the end of the day, this is how we have to turn in the assignments. If the assignment's not turned in, it's going to be a whole nother problem. Then I got to call home,
right,
and I got to deal with parents that I really don't want to deal with anyway. So, you know, I get it. I completely understand even where the parents are coming from when they're like, you know, how do you expect my child to learn? And you're not even making sure that, you know, the things that they're encountering, they're able to understand. You know, I had a parent who said to me, you know, they complain about my child's in kindergarten, and they're mad because she can't remember her password.
Right.
When all they had to do was literally tape the password to the computer.
Right.
You know, so these are things that I definitely, I think we have to do a better job with getting our resources out and getting all of the students familiarized with what we're looking into doing as it relates to our schools and our classroom, for sure.
Yep. Well, but if you are a teacher and you want to, because I think we could have another topic about this as the school next school year. If you are a teacher and you're listening, please feel free to reach out to us. We would love to have you on to see what each school system or county in various school districts are doing to help with their technology. If you're using Canvas and someone wants to, and you're kind of lost, and you can help me because I'm also kind of lost as well with some things. But if you are teaching, you're listening, and you are using Canvas, or, you know, please reach out. We would love to have you on the show as well.
So,
bro, that's all I have.
As always, we're grateful for each and every person. We thank Mr. Rich for calling in on tonight. We thank everybody for tuning in and for listening in. As always, we love to be a part of your life. If you've missed the broadcast tonight or any part of our broadcast tonight, don't forget that you can tune in to Apple Podcasts, iHeart Radio Podcast, and catch the replay. And until next week at 7:30, same podcast channel, same podcast place. We are the brothers. I'm your boy Dre. That's your boy Mark. And we will see you on next week.
But hold on, before you play our entrance, I just want to say that the young man who wrote our entrance, our theme for the show, has another song out on iTunes. Hold on, I'm pulling it up. It's called Love Island.
Okay.
It's called Love Island. Hold on, I gotta, cause you know, y'all know I'm old, right? Y'all know
What's the name of the person?
Isaiah Wilson. It's called Love Island. Isaiah has another song out, another single out called Love Island, and it's by Isaiah Wilson. So if you're on iTunes, I don't know if he has it on any other platform like Spotify or Google Play, but if you Google it, Isaiah Wilson, you'll find his music. But I know for sure he on June 15th he uploaded Love Island. Okay.
All right. Make sure y'all go and get it, and download the whole, you know, get the whole LP. Don't just get a single, but you know, get the single and then get the whole LP. Welcome to the Life of Zay 2, Heartbreak Hotel, to Infinity and Beyond 2, and Welcome to the Life of Zay, or all of the EPs or the albums. And then there are a host of singles and EPs that he also has on iTunes. So make sure you like, subscribe, share, stream, download, all that good stuff, and be a support to the young man, because he's dope at what he does, and we definitely
and I have another former student who has music out on iTunes. His name is Cece. It's called Cece Music. His album is The Lost Styles. Lost Styles, the album. Cece Music. He has some music out, so go ahead and download his as well.
You said TC Music?
CC, C and C, like CC Winans, CC Music.
CC Music.
Yep.
All right, all right, all right. There you go. And while we shouting out artists, don't forget you can always download your boy Rich Boy Flair, one of the original artists from Click Records Entertainment, who also went by Montana FT. But he definitely has music all up and through iTunes also. So we definitely want you to be a support to him, as well as King Gold Bills, who's dynamic, also here from Wilmington, Delaware. We can go all day with this. We're going to definitely do something about some new school artists on the podcast, invite them to come on. Chris Storr,
yeah, we need
another
to.
One that we can definitely support. So, you know, it's Black Music Month, and we did nothing for music.
No,
shame
we did
us.
Not.
Shame on us. Next
right.
show,
the two,
let's
the
see
two
what
biggest
do.
Music fans.
Yeah, let's see what we can do by next show. We'll pull some, see if we can pull some artists in by next show and just go through some of their stuff. They can maybe send in a track each, and we'll get them on the show. We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. We'll make this work. Plus, it's 50 years in hip-hop all year long. So we're going to definitely do what we have to do to support our young people that are in the industry, because it's a very difficult industry to be in. So we definitely want to support everybody who we can support that's in the music industry.
Yes,
so I guess now we're signing out until next week. I'm your boy Dre.
Yep, we're signing out until next week.
I'm your boy Dre from the First State. That's your boy Mar from Charm City. And we'll be here next week. Same podcast channel, same podcast place, Blog Talk Radio. It's the brothers, and we're out of here.
We out of here.